Acts chapter number 16. And I'd like to preach this morning a message entitled The Fulfillment of the Great Commission. The Fulfillment of the Great Commission. I love how the Holy Spirit works in His church. Last night, I truly had another message in mind and in my heart, but while I was getting later in night and I was studying and just reading, the Lord started directing my heart to a different message. And to be honest with you, if I can be transparent, I've never preached His message. I have a few principles I believe the Lord has given me to preach. And Pastor, you know this, there's probably a few messages that you're comfortable preaching and subjects in the Bible that you've probably taught or things of that nature. And usually I'm a little bit nervous when I go to a new message from a new church or a new pulpit, but I believe this is what the Holy Spirit would have me preach to you this morning. And I didn't know the theme of your conference. But if I could say one thing to you, if you would remember today, after visiting 10 different countries, to say that there is a need for laborers, we truly don't understand that statement. I grew up in the mission field. As a child, I've known the scriptures. I grew up in a pastor's home. I went to Bible college. I worked in a church on staff for 2 to 3 years. And all that time, I can truly confess that I did not know and truly didn't understand when we would say that there's a need for laborers. We are comfortable in America. And I'm blessed to live in America. I'm blessed to be born in America. But in all the countries that we've traveled and gone to, there are people that still truly have not heard the message of the gospel. We had the opportunity, the Holy Spirit led us out of Central America for one of the trips that we hosted. And we went to Myanmar. And we had the tremendous opportunity to go into a United Nations camp where there were 70,000 Burmese refugees that had fled their country because of civil war. And when I begin to tell you, I truly can't begin to describe what it was that children did not know what the Christmas story was. To them, the Christmas story and the cross is what the yin-yang symbol is to us. You've probably seen it before, but if I ask you to give me an explanation of what the yin-yang symbol is, or you probably couldn't tell me much of the culture. I probably couldn't. I just know it's a symbol or something. But there were children there that didn't really know what the Christmas story was. There were children there that suffered of many diseases and adults and of problems because of the lack of nutrients that they don't have the clean water and all that happens there. Where these people are just crammed on top of each other, and we got to participate in over 10 preaching services and see hundreds of people saved. But as I left that camp, I thought, man, I really don't understand the words of Christ when He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And the Lord of the harvest is still calling. After I graduated Bible college, the Lord allowed my family the great privilege. I worked at First Baptist and worked with Brother Wilkerson. And if y'all know him, such a great man and a humble servant. But at 2022, during our missions conference, sitting right here in the auditorium, just like you were, the Holy Spirit tapped my shoulder, tugged my heart, and said, it's time for your next step in your call to full-time ministry. May I be honest with you, we were very comfortable. I had graduated right before COVID, so everything was kind of on pause. During those 2 years, the Lord allowed me to start a business with another young man in our church, and God blessed it tremendously. And I don't say that to boast, but the Lord took me through 2 years of success because He was teaching me that the Lord gives, but He also takes away. And God grew our company. We had 7 offices nationwide. And I'll never forget with my wife just seeing what God had done in 2 years. We had over 200 employees nationwide. And then I was working at the church with Pastor, and I thought, this is amazing. I said, I've got the resources that I need to, and I started doing some missions work during that time. But I thought, I'll get to work at First Baptist, and I'll be in America. Then we'll help missionaries. We've got this income coming in. But the Lord took me through a season where He took that away to test my faith. And I believe with all my heart that in churches in America, God is still calling not only young children, not only teenagers, but I believe wholeheartedly that God is calling adults into the work of missions. I don't believe that the next missionaries are going to come from the baseball stadiums and the football stadiums in our country. I don't believe they're going to come from the classes of secular universities and the ideology and many times the subjects that are taught. I don't believe that next missionaries are going to come from many time business seminars and conferences. They're going to come from where the Word of God is being preached in a local church and where the Holy Spirit is tugging in the hearts of believers and where the Lord of the harvest is calling people to His harvest. He's calling for more laborers. And when Pastor mentioned that, I understood, and finally the Lord gave me peace about this message that I'd like to bring to you this morning. The Word of God says, because for the sake of time we won't stand, but Acts chapter number 16, verse number 5, the Word of God says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Could you read that verse with me one more time, please? Acts chapter 16, verse 5. I'm going to ask you now to read that verse with me, and then we'll pray and go into the preaching of God's word. The Bible says, and so were the churches. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, and we believe, Lord, that your precious Spirit is working in our midst. Father, we've gathered to exalt Christ. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that He has done for us. I pray, Lord, that you would do a special work now. I pray, Father, that you would guide me and hide me behind the cross. And I pray, Lord, that you would call laborers into your harvest. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 16, we find a verse where we see the fulfillment or the purpose of the Great Commission. In verse number 5, it says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that I serve a God that is a builder, or He loves to build and create. To think that He created the heavens and the earth, to think that after we messed up creation as humanity, He laid out a plan and created a plan for His precious Son to come and to die on the cross so that you and I can have salvation. To think that He commands us as believers to build up treasures in heaven and not on earth. To think that in Jude, the Word of God says, and build up yourselves your most holy faith. See, God is a God that desires for His plan and for His purpose through His local church is to help and to allow for us as believers to be established in the faith, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but with the ultimate purpose so that others would know as well the message of Jesus Christ and that they would come into the family of God and now have salvation. I'm so grateful that I was born into a home where my parents were Christian. I'm so grateful that I truly been blessed my whole life. I'm so grateful that a 17-year-old young girl didn't give up on my dad when she was inviting him over and over to church. And I'm so grateful that God has allowed me to be, was born into a family that loves God and is my wife as well. But here in Scripture, we find very interestingly, the Bible says, and so were the churches established in the faith. Because of time, I won't take you there, but I'd like to read another verse in Acts, and I'll just read it to you where this word establish is found. And he took him by the right hand, talking about Peter and John performing a miracle. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. See, the King James Version translators here use receive strength. And in another passage of Scripture, they use established, but in the Greek, it's the same word, stereo, which is used only 5 times in 3 verses, all in Acts. The Greek word literally means to solidify and is derived from another word meaning solid or stable. Thus, more figuratively, to establish, confirm, or make strong. Here in this Scripture, where I just read, the term refers to the physical strengthening of bones. In Acts 16:5, where we were just at, the term refers to the strengthening of the church. See, the reason that God wants to call laborers into his harvest is because God wants to strengthen local churches all over the world. The reason that God called my dad into the mission field is because he knew that there was an area in the Dominican Republic where there were people that wanted the gospel, wanted the message, but there was no Bible preaching, soul winning church. So God, in his foreknowledge and his wisdom, he knows what is needed so that we can come to this conclusion of verse 5 that churches are established in the faith and they increase in number daily. What does it mean when they increase in number? That means lost people that are coming to know God, know the message of salvation, are added into a church. They are saved now. They don't have to go to hell because now they hear the message of the gospel. Now they're brought into a local church. And so much happens and their lives change. But how did we get here in the context of a few principles that I'd like to share with you with the time that we have this morning? How is it that we get here to the fulfillment of the Great Commission through the ministry of the Apostle Paul? I'd like to share with you a few principles that I truly believe, and if I may say, to preach in faith to that person or to that member, that I believe that your pastor's praying that God would send missionaries from this church. I believe that this church has a desire to seek revival, and what a blessing that is. But may I tell you that revival is going to start when the Holy Spirit asks you and challenges you to take a step of faith. Because God is a God that wants to further our faith. He wants to challenge us to move forward. He wants us to do more for His kingdom, because the more we do, it represents people coming to know Christ. So what happened here for these churches to be established? What happened for this, for all these people to come into the church and increase in number daily? Well, would you see with me, please, in verse number 35, Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 35. I'd like to share with you 3 principles that need to happen, or that we can learn from this context of Scripture before we see the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The first is, the Bible says, in Acts chapter 15, verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Now, if you give me your attention briefly, but here we are in the context of Scripture where the Apostle Paul has already finished his first missionary journey. And God had done so many great things through him and through Peter, reaching Gentile believers. And a problem arises in chapter 13 and 14 where some men come down and say, hey, you also need to be circumcised to be saved. So what happens is that we see the first, I guess we could call it a first gathering of leadership or elders and apostles of the New Testament local church. And they get together to decide, okay, well, these people are saying that men need to be circumcised to be saved. Others are not. And this problem arises. And we see here that they handle the matter in verse 28 of Acts chapter 15. The Bible says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So we see here that they send a message to these new churches and these new believers saying, here's what we believe, and here's what we believe the Holy Ghost is leading us to dictate or to say through the leadership of the New Testament local church. But immediately then, we find ourselves right before great things are about to happen in this context. Paul here has not launched out to his second missionary journey. So please follow me here. So important in the context of Scripture what we find. The Bible teaches us that Paul also in verse 35 and Barnabas continued in Antioch. So they were in a local church. They were teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many people. They were comfortable in a sense. Paul had many reasons why not to go out for another journey, another missionary work. He had been stoned almost to death in chapter 14. We see in verse number 25, it says, it seemed good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you, Acts 15, verse 25, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Can you read verse 26 with me? Men that have their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul and Barnabas had gone through it in their first journey. But look what Paul says in verse 36 of Acts chapter 15. What happened? What happened in the lives of these men for more churches to be established, for more people to know the gospel, for the Great Commission to be fulfilled? What happened? In verse 36, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. I believe here that there are three principles that we can learn. What will happen? What do I need to do when the Holy Spirit calls me into missionary work? If I may be so bold to say, if I may preach in faith as the Holy Spirit, I believe, is calling people into His harvest. God answers prayers. Amen. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be what? Opened unto you. Anything that ye shall ask in my name, John 14, Jesus said, anything that ye shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. And then Jesus repeats again, anything that ye shall ask, I will do it. So as we pray that God would send laborers, as we pray that God would send more people to the mission field, what must we do when the Holy Spirit calls? I believe the principles in verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued. Paul also and Barnabas continued. In our Christian life, I truly believe that as the Holy Spirit works in these times, in the next few weeks, of course, we're all going to be paying attention to what's going to happen in the White House. We all know that our country is going through a very difficult time, as we can say. We know that Satan is fighting, but in these times, we need to continue. In these times, you know, what do we do with another missions conference on the schedule, on the church calendar? What do? We continue. In these times where we know that so many horrible things are going on and so many ideologies and horrible things that, may I say, in Latin America now, we are fighting many times the ideology and certain things that I believe things that come from the culture of our country, because now they're trying to be imposed on other smaller countries in Latin America. What do? We continue. Just like Paul told Timothy, I love the words that he said to him. Continue in the things that thou hast learned. He knew that evil men would what? They would wax worse and worse. But he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I see the first principle here that we can learn in this context of when the Holy Spirit calls us, when we're doing what we need to do, like Paul and Barnabas were doing. The first thing is we continue after difficult times. I truly believe that a person that is called into missions, a person, a Christian that is surrendered to what God is going to do in their lives, to surrendered to what God will call them to do, will go through difficult times. When we got to the mission field, I'll never forget this. We landed and we started, my dad planted the church and things were going well, and my mom's health started deteriorating. And I remember at being a young kid seeing my mom go through things, and I didn't know at that time what was going on. My dad didn't know. My mom truly didn't understand. And I'll never forget when the doctors I had told my parents that my mom was diagnosed with early onset of MS. And I remember being a young child thinking, why in the world, if my parents chose to leave everything behind in America, why in the world, if they are missionaries, why does it have to be my mom that has to have this sickness or disease? And thank God it hasn't developed all the way through with MS, and if you know much of that, but she struggles a lot. She struggles with heat. It's very hot in the Dominican Republic. But someone that surrenders themselves to the call of God, someone that the Holy Spirit leads into the work of His kingdom, and just like any other believer that will surrender themselves, it could be missions. It could be that God is calling you to start a new Sunday school class in your church. It could be that there's some bus routes that need to be started. It could be that God wants you to sing in the choir. Whatever the next step of sanctification, whatever the next step of growth in your Christian life, may I be so bold to say by Scripture here, difficult times will come. But what, you know what we need to do? We need to continue. Amen. Paul knew, I almost got stoned to death. He knew he had just gone through some horrible times, but he said, hey, Barnabas, why don't we just go ahead and continue and let's go see how the churches are doing. May I present to you tonight that because of this statement of Paul, we have the amazing words of the church at Corinth that he established in this journey, where the Scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have that amazing verse because Paul said, let's go and see how the churches are doing. And he took another missionary journey, and the church of Corinth was established. We have also in Scripture the beautiful passage in the book of Philippians where Paul said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, and wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. We know that verse. But you know how it started? Paul said, let's continue. Let's go see how the churches are doing. And God led them to start a church at Philippi. We also find the beautiful verses in the book of Ephesians in the Word of God where we know these verses and we understand, but be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We find the beautiful verse in Ephesians that says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. See, these churches didn't exist in Acts chapter 15. It took a man that said, I'm going to continue in difficult times. It also took a man that said, I'm going to continue in times where there's disagreement. You know, because of time again, we'll have to wrap up shortly, but Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. And I truly believe that there was satanic oppression here in this moment between Paul and Barnabas. Because Satan knew what was about to happen. He knew what Paul was able to do because of God's calling in his life. And church family, can I be honest with you? I don't know your story. I don't know you. I'm not sure what goes on in the church. But I'll tell you this. We're not called to create unity. We're called to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, says Ephesians. Because when a church gets together like yours is to do a missions emphasis, to say, let's send laborers out, let's seek for revival, discord will come between believers. So continue not only in difficult times, but continue where there's disagreement. And here's the last one, and we'll be done. May I encourage you in verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. You see, next thing I see in this context is, not only did Paul and Barnabas continue during difficulty, not only did they continue when there was disagreement, but they continued in discipleship. Can you imagine what would happen next year in your missions conference? If every believer today under the sound of my voice determines to say, I want to find one person in Madison that I can witness to and give the gospel of Christ. I want to find one person in Madison that I can meet with once a week or twice a week to disciple them and help them in the next steps to grow as a believer. Can you imagine what would happen if we take it further in the state of Wisconsin, if every believer that's blessed to live in America with the technologies that we have, where 38% of the wealth of the world is in our country, can you imagine what would happen if we just say in 12 months, in 52 weeks, in 365 days, I'll just find one believer. I'll find one lost person to witness to. Not hundreds, not thousands, just one. May I be honest with you, as a testimony, I've gotten too comfortable in church before. Years have gone by where in December, there was no one sitting in the pew because of me witnessing to them. And I remember when the Holy Spirit convicted me of that. I'll never forget when my neighbor Joy was saved and everything that God did there. And a morning I was praying for her to be saved and the Holy Spirit said, hey, why don't you just get up and go knock on her door? Because I was praying for her so much, but I just hadn't gone knocked on her door to tell her, hey, Jesus loves you. I'll never forget when I got up and I said, I might be crazy. But I was praying and the Holy Spirit pressed on my heart. And I just walked over, knocked on her door around 10 in the morning. And she was laying in bed, depressed because she had just lost her job. And her retirement was taken away from her. And she said to me, Caleb, she said, I don't know why you would come now. She said, but I'm going through a very tough time. I'm depressed. I lost my job. And she just shared her heart with me. And then she sweetly received Christ. Amen. And she went to church. Here's what I'm trying to say. The Holy Spirit is calling laborers into his harvest. And when he calls us, there'll be difficult times. When you choose to take that step in faith, there will be difficulties. There will be disagreements. But we also need to continue in discipleship. You know who was found in the next verses? Timothy. Oh, that young boy, Timothy. I believe that what we need in our churches is some mature believers as yourself, like an Apostle Paul, that said, Timothy seems good. The Bible does not tell us that Timothy said, I want to go with Paul. It said that it seemed good to Paul for him to join him. And he encouraged a young man who later became the pastor of the church at Ephesus, who later became the young boy that we have those words that Paul wrote, that we don't have the spirit of fear. I pray that as the Holy Spirit calls, we will listen. I believe in faith that God is calling because there's still people to reach. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the message that you have put on my heart this morning. I pray that you would bless Madison Baptist Church. I pray that you would call people to your harvest. I pray, Lord, that you would bind any demonic oppression or Satan fighting, Lord. I wonder what church would be started. I wonder what new country will receive a missionary. I pray not for what we can accomplish this morning, but what we can set in motion. Pastor.